The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
There goes the Daverhood. Welcome, everybody, to Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk radio, and music brought to you each week by Total Theater on this fine, fine radio station, AM 1240 WGBB Freeport, and live streaming audio on davesgoneby.com. Heading into the middle of summer now, July 22nd, I know we're still getting rainstorms and some cool evenings, but the summer's here. It's muggy. It's too warm in the mornings. You go for a 10-minute walk, and your shirt is soaked through by the time you get back. But not in the real depths of it, because so far we've ducked a true heat wave, which is a mercy. And the dog days don't technically start till the second week of August, which presumably makes these the cat days of summer. All the kids are out drinking and wasting time outside the convenience stores. The mosquito bites are starting. The weird bugs are showing up in the hallway. You know, in the winter you just get spiders, flies, maybe a moth or two. Summer rolls around, and there's ants, there's weird-looking beetle bugs, yellow jackets that died a week ago and then just suddenly show up by the windowsill. Either that, or the honeybee that's three-quarters dead, but still clinging to the curtain, so you gotta swat at it with a newspaper. And you're scared, but the bee is too stoned to get mad and sting you. Even if you miss, it's like, bam! Oh, crap, I missed! And the bee is like, buzz, buzz, man. Was I moving too slow for you? Here, yo, Dr. Kevorkian, let me just stay in one place so you can finish the job, alright? One good whack, dude. You can do it. Make my thorax come out my ass. And, of course, the summer is not going to get any easier in and around New York City. Not with the convention coming up. At least it's the week before Labor Day, so a lot of people would have been taking vacation anyhow. But commuters are going to have a fun time, you can tell. The Long Island Railroad is trying to keep to its regular daily schedule, only they don't want people to actually use the train. It's this wonderful paradox. The LIRR is committed to making sure trains come in and out of Penn Station. They just don't want anybody on them. It's like, change in Amityville for the train to West Hempstead, then change at West Hempstead for a shuttle bus to Floral Park, continue under the walking bridge for 2 miles until you catch a ferry boat to Jamaica, then take the number 6 subway to the East River and swim to Midtown. Please allow an extra 3 to 4 hours each way for your commute, and we thank you for riding the MTA. Now, but terrorism fears aside, if New York can't show the Republicans that it can function normally during one little convention in one big arena, how the hell are we supposed to manage the Olympics in 2012, should it come to that? The concourse at Grand Central Station may not be occupied by more than 4 people at any given time, yet we're supposed to play host to the world when they take over all of Manhattan, right? Actually, I know Mayor Bloomberg wants to put on a good show and have everything go seamlessly at the convention all week. Even Mayor Koch is getting into the act, subversively, by welcoming the elephants into the donkey pen. But really, what there ought to be is chaos. Not another 9/11, God forbid. Just lots of breakdowns, traffic jams, blackouts, crumbling building infrastructures, so that all these political mucky-mucks will go back to Washington, D.C. and say, hey, you know, maybe New York does need a greater share of the anti-terrorism budget than Wyoming. Maybe those New York Democrat Jews weren't kidding when they begged for more security and health care and housing. And maybe there is something wrong with a city when a congressman's limo has to drive all the way to 10th Avenue to find a cheap hooker. It's going to be a fun late summer. At least it's quiet now. The hoopla still feels far away, though it'll be upon us before you know it. Have you bought your We Defeat Bush buttons yet? Your Anyone But Bush t-shirts? I mean, you can even recycle your Holocaust memorial signs. Never again. Anything to wear and to show the zombies parading through 7th Avenue that the last 3 years were an aberration, that a better man would have taken responsibility for 2 airplanes crashing through the financial center of the universe, that being attacked by a country we don't want to invade doesn't give us the right to invade another country that didn't attack, that the definition of obscenity is $400 a month for health care and $4 for a gallon of milk, and not Justin Timberlake grabbing a black woman's titty. But what do I know? Who am I to give political advice? I'll tell you who I am. I'm Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, journalist, and humorist. And this is my radio show, Dave's Gone By, heard on this radio station every week since October 2002. As we bring you silly talk, smart talk, special talk, and music. And tonight, as usual, it's all of the above. We've got The News Gone By, our weekly look at current and world events from a Jon Stewart-ish, Keith Olbermann-esque perspective. On this week's News Gone By, stories about Michael Jackson and Vladimir Lenin, porno across the pond, and jaywalkers under the gun. Also tonight, Inside Broadway, our weekly look at what's happening in New York theater. Tonight is the opening of Sondheim's The Frogs, and Broadway has a drag attack. But most importantly, on tonight's program, 2 guests. A few days ago, I went to a show at the Midtown International Theater Festival. This is a very highfalutin title, but it's a low-key thing. They have about 12 shows spread out over a couple of theaters connected to each other. Sweet little theaters, black box, no frills, air-conditioned, bless their hearts, and maybe 50 or 60 seats in the joint. So the one performance I went to see was called Sometimes Over the Summer, a one-person show, autobiographical, about a woman who grows up wanting and expecting certain things out of life, settling for less, and then realizing that less isn't all it's cracked up to be. It's very amusing, very lively. It's surprisingly frank about sex and infidelity and parental issues. And the writer-performer is Andrea Kolb, K-O-L-B. She's done a lot of stand-up comedy, and she was, in fact, voted America's Funniest Mom in a contest on the Oprah Winfrey Show. She's also a veteran of Grandma Sylvia's Funeral. That's an off-Broadway show, not a personal tragedy. And she's been honing Sometimes Over the Summer at various venues for several months now. And it's pretty much there. She had a tough assignment. I saw the show on a Monday night at 6 o'clock. There were maybe 25, 30 people in a house that seats something like 50. So it's always tough to do comedy in a crowd that sparse. But because it was not just stand-up, it was an autobiographical play, with herself as a character, also her mom and her grandma appearing in the piece, she kept the momentum, she got the laughs, she told the story, and she got a nice ovation at the end, and it was deserved. Andrea Kolb, Sometimes Over the Summer, which is playing one more time next Wednesday, July 28th at 8:15, at a theater called Where Eagles Dare on West 36th Street, just a couple of blocks from Penn Station. So I could recommend the show. I could say, go see it, it's pretty good. Or I can let Andrea promote it herself. Much better idea, because she's here tonight on this program, talking about the show, talking about life in the stand-up comedy trenches, talking about sexuality and suburbia. So I'm happy to have Andrea Kolb as a guest in the neighborhood tonight. Except there was one problem. The show has a very Jewish perspective. Kolb's upbringing, her humor, and she ended up marrying a man more religious than she ever was. And while I'm certainly familiar with the Jewish lifestyle and can make a meal on 1 or 2 sets of dishes, I did feel that perhaps I wasn't the ideal person to interview Ms. Kolb. I wanted someone with much more ethnic authenticity, a true understanding of Jewish priorities and values. So I turned to a man who has none of those, but more importantly, he's got chutzpah by the bucketful. He's been a guest on the program many times, some would say too many, but I think he deserves another chance. So tonight, interviewing Andrea Kolb, will be the one, the only, Rabbi Saul Solomon, leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, which means this is probably the time I should remind you that Days Gone By is a happy show, a family show, but not for every member of the family. That's why we rate it DGB-13. The Days Gone By equivalent of the movie's PG-13. We're not trying to be offensive or indecent. It just comes naturally. No, but seriously, a word to the wise that this is not a kid's show. It's a show for grown-ups who want to feel like kids again. And we will start our kidding around with a News Gone By on this, our 86th episode, right after this.
Right about now, I could go for some chicken tikka masala, lamb biryani, or lobster and coconut cream sauce. Finally, the South Shore has a Northern Indian restaurant, Tandoor Grill, on Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center. Open 6 days a week for buffet lunch and full dinner, plus a 300-seat catering hall. Tandoor Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway, Rockville Center, 516-766-4440, or see the Indialicious menu at tandoorgrill.com.
Welcome back to Days Gone By on this Thursday, July 22nd, 2004. Time for the News Gone By, a look at events of the past week from a sometimes over the something perspective. In world news, a report this week from the Government Accountability Office in Congress shows that the Bush administration underestimated the cost of war in Iraq by more than $12 billion. The shortfall will have to come out of America's 2005 budget. Asked to comment on the mistake, Donald Rumsfeld said, "Hey, what's the big deal? We also underestimated the number of casualties, but you don't see me whining about it." In world news, Israeli doctors have solved an 80-year-old medical mystery. Why did Vladimir Lenin go crazy the last 2 years of his life? The official explanation was that he got cerebral arteriosclerosis. The real story, covered up immediately after his death, was that Lenin had syphilis. It explains his behavior, the treatments he received, the cryptic notes taken by doctors at the time. Even Karl Marx knew about Lenin's many sexual partners. Asked where his colleague got syphilis from, Marx said, "From each, according to his abilities." Also on the medical front, a group of scientists are filing a lawsuit against the DEA, the NIH, Health and Human Services, and the National Institute on Drug Abuse. The lawsuit contends that these anti-drug government agencies have obstructed vital research into the use of marijuana as a medicine. Lyle Cracker, director of the Medicinal Plant Program at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst, told the Associated Press, quote, "There is an urgent need for an alternative supply of marijuana for medical research, but the government maintains a monopoly on research marijuana," unquote. Not only that, according to the lawsuit, all legal pot that's used for research in the U.S. is grown in one crop on a federally contracted farm in Mississippi. The bad news, it's, quote, "inconsistently available and infamous for its low quality," unquote. Meanwhile, 16 different medical studies are in a holding pattern, unable to go forward without a stash. One expert wants to prove that you can treat hangnail, astigmatism, hemorrhoids, chapped lips, and bunions with pot. Unfortunately, that expert is David Crosby, but still. You ever get mad at something you were trying to fix, like a TV or a toaster oven, and smack it a few times? Maybe a pen runs out on you and you pound the point into the desk before you hurl it into the trash can? Well, doctors don't have that option. They've got to stay focused no matter what happens. Unfortunately, nobody told that to a Romanian surgeon who lost his temper during a delicate operation. He was in the midst of lowering a guy's testicle down into his scrotum, fairly common procedure, when he accidentally cut the urinary channel. Oops. Anyway, according to the New York Post's Weird But True column, the surgeon was so steamed at his own mistake, he sliced the man's penis into several pieces. The patient's wife is suing, of course, and the physician has been suspended, but only for 6 months. Makes you wonder what a doctor would have to do in Romania to actually have his license withdrawn. You know, Mengele would get 5 years probation and his golf privileges suspended. As for the Romanian victim, he was rushed to emergency surgery where they restored his urination. But any future sexuality is doubtful. In fact, last week, his wife caught him in the bathroom where he had reached into his pants, pulled out 3 different sections of penis, and started juggling them. She asked what he was doing. He said, just jerking off. Speaking of sex, the Post also reports that entries are pouring in for England's first erotic film festival. Adult cable station Explicit 984 called for homemade sex films, the best of which will be shown on TV and voted on by viewers. The response has been surprising, especially from average, stuffy, middle-class Brits. I've only seen a few entries, but I have to say I was shocked. All the men in the films actually take off their hats, and sometimes they even put their briefcases down. In musical news, Michael Jackson is allegedly going to be a dad again. No joke. Us Magazine reports that through a surrogate mother, the King of Pop is going to have quadruplets. Jackson's people would not confirm the story, nor would they speculate on how the singer might raise 4 new kids amidst the molestation charges destroying his career. However, a Los Angeles car dealer did tell the press that Michael had been around to test drive some family-sized SUVs. When told a vehicle that big wouldn't be very fancy, Jackson allegedly said, "That's okay, so long as it gets 4 on the floor." In crime news, well, Johnny Cash once wrote a song about getting arrested for picking flowers, but imagine getting shot at for jaywalking. That's what happened in Pilsen, Czechoslovakia, where a policeman wanted to stop a pedestrian crossing the road at a red light. First, the cop fired in the air. Then, he shot twice at the jaywalker, luckily missing each time. And according to Reuters, the cop is now facing a criminal investigation. The pedestrian admits that he should have waited to cross at the green, but when he got home and looked at his underpants, he discovered that he had instead crossed on yellow. And finally, in the news gone by, there have been some great empires in years past. The Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the Sichuan Empire at Broadway and 97th Street. But we are witnessing a brand new dynasty, a thrilling ascent into the annals of folkloric trivia, a Charles Van Doren without the Horan. Of course, I can only be talking about one man. What is Ken Jennings, the Salt Lake City Dynamo, who's now in his 37th straight day as the winner on Jeopardy. He's got only 9 more to go before he matches Tom McKee's record for the most consecutive appearances on any game show, and McKee's was on Tic-Tac-Toe. So the excitement is building around Jeopardy Ken, so much so that I felt compelled to write the following ode, a mighty ballad to forever fix Jeopardy Ken's place in the history of the world. Deep in his bank account, he's put $1 million. Some call it genius, while others call it luck. He looks like something that fell off a turnip truck. Everybody sing, "Hey, Jeopardy Ken, do it again, Jeopardy Ken. Hey, Jeopardy Ken, what did you win, Jeopardy Ken?" He comes from Utah, and his brother picks his ties. Oh, look, he won again! Surprise, surprise, surprise! He's such a marvel, he's the devil in disguise. All the Mormons sing, "Hey, Jeopardy Ken, do it again, Jeopardy Ken. Hey, Jeopardy Ken, what did you win, Jeopardy Ken?" He's just as smug as a computer geek can be. All the suspense is gone by Final Jeopardy. But no one else can run the board on Potpourri. Alex Trebek sings, hey, Jeopardy can do it again. Jeopardy can, hey, Jeopardy can, what did you win? Jeopardy can, hey, Jeopardy can, do it again. Jeopardy can, hey, Jeopardy can, what did you win? Jeopardy can. July 22nd, 2004. Please send your comments, opinions, and state capitals for 200, Alex, to Days Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's Days Gone By, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. If you can't write the address down just now, don't worry. You can find it and a whole bunch of other cool stuff on my website, davesgoneby.com. And if you want to send me an email, the address is davesgoneby@aol.com. Let me know you're out there, because that's what keeps me on here. davesgoneby@aol.com for all your comments, opinions, complaints, and confusions. We reserve the right to read your letters on the air, name withheld upon request. So, talk to me, write to me, mail to me, anything your heart desires, but please, no medicinal marijuana. We just sprayed for roaches. Back after this. They say the neon lights are bright on Broadway, and you can see them shine off Broadway too. And if you love the theater scene, you need this special magazine. Performing Arts Insider is for you. Everything you want to know about theater, cabaret, opera, and dance, 516-295-1511, or go to TotalTheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide.
Name some Sondheim musicals. Sweeney Todd, Sunday in the Park with George, Company, Assassins, Gypsy, and West Side Story. Well, he wasn't alone on those two, but you could name half a dozen more and not even think of The Frogs, a one-act musical he scored 30 years ago. That may be because it's rarely produced and, until now, has never been commercially staged in New York. In fact, the 1974 premiere was at Yale University, not in its theater or famous drama school, but in and around their swimming pool. The actors had to sing and swim and handle lots of special effects, and the designers and audiences had to cope with the terrible acoustics of staging a musical in a giant pool. Well, the folks at Lincoln Center Theater are a little less foolhardy or poolhardy, so they're not putting their revival of The Frogs underwater, but they are giving it lots of funny costumes and big-name talent. The director is Susan Stroman, who won Tonys for staging and choreographing The Producers and for designing the dancing of Contact. Leading The Frogs cast is another Producers alumnus, Nathan Lane. He not only stars as Dionysus in The Frogs, but he's the one who took the original 40-minute one-act and expanded it to a full-length musical. The original, by the way, had a book by Bert Shevelov, best known for directing a bunch of Broadway musicals, and for co-writing the book to another Sondheim classic, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. His partner on that one, of course, Larry Gelbart. Anyway, The Frogs is based on an old Aristophanes comedy in which two playwrights, Aeschylus and Euripides, duke it out to see who's the greater dramatist. In Shevelev's adaptation, Shakespeare and Shaw are also thrown into the mix, and who knows what surprises Nathan Lane will have up his sleeve for his adaptation. One unhappy surprise to hit the production only 2 weeks before it opened was the replacement of a cast member. Chris Kattan, the puckish Saturday Night Live veteran, started previews playing the slave, but he was let go. It would have been his Broadway debut, but instead they got, what else? Another veteran of the producers, Roger Bart. Joining him in The Frogs are Daniel Davis, best known for playing the butler on The Nanny, and John Biner, a comedian and impressionist who had a weekly TV show in the 70s. He's making his Broadway debut in the show, which opens tonight, July 22nd, at the Vivian Beaumont Theater. Will the frogs sink or swim? The best way to find out is by subscribing to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. It is the most comprehensive and easy-to-use Broadway and off-Broadway guide available, and it's the one so many directors, managers, agents, and theater professionals turn to for their information. When is a show opening? It's in Performing Arts Insider. What big musicals are being planned for next year? It's in Performing Arts Insider. How much longer is that big star going to be in the show I want to see? The answer, so many answers, are in Performing Arts Insider. 21 issues a year, available by subscription only. Call 516-295-1511 to find out more. 516-295-1511 or visit TotalTheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider. Continuing inside Broadway, remember a few years back when it seemed like every other new musical on the Great White Way had a score by Frank Wildhorn? A successful writer of pop and country music, Wildhorn tried his hand at theater and came up with Jekyll and Hyde, the musical. It did really well touring for years, but not quite so well when it finally came to Broadway, though it ran for a long time. Wildhorn was bitten by the Broadway bug, though, and very quickly both The Scarlet Pimpernel, three versions of it, and The Civil War made their way to Midtown. He never did have a Broadway hit, however, and critics have not been kind. But maybe his latest show, Dracula the Musical, will break the curse. It's the first new musical of this Broadway season, and it's directed by Des McAnuff, who won a Tony for staging Tommy. Previews for Dracula begin on Wednesday, July 28th, and who's playing the sangre-sipping count? Tom Hewitt. Not a household name, but Broadway mavens remember well his star turn in Rocky Horror a few seasons back. And Hewitt's co-star in Dracula the Musical? Melissa Errico, just out of the Irish Reps revival of Finian's Rainbow. She's been on Broadway, she has a CD out, she does a lot of cabaret concerts, and she's John McEnroe's sister-in-law, so I guess she's witnessed evil up close. But seriously, folks, listen next week on this program for more Inside Broadway, including The Roundabout, reviving a long-neglected Arthur Miller drama. It's the one about his relationship with Marilyn Monroe. And we'll say happy birthday to the Tony-winning Avenue Q. So cue up to your radio next week, because I'll be back on the street with more Inside Broadway.
We've just been Inside Broadway from Performing Arts Insider and TotalTheater.com. Did you know Dave Lefkowitz of Dave's Gone By is not just a radio personality? He's also a playwright. And his book, Marriage Babies and the End of the World, is filled with the same humor he brings to his show every week. Funny, sad, and true. At only $20 hardcover, $12 trade paperback, Marriage Babies and the End of the World makes a great gift. So get your copy today. Call 516-295-1511. That's 516-295-1511. Or email davesgoneby@aol.com.
on the radio. Ooh, ooh, on the radio. Ooh.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Nothing. I'm just so jazzed about the shows WGBB plays on the weekends. There's more to the station than Dave's Gone By.
What, like a single show with Bonnie D. Graham?
Right. Long Island's Dating, Friday nights at 6 o'clock. Interviews, advice, it's fun.
I don't know, I'd rather hear music.
Well, then you should tune in to the Mr. Redman Music Show.
Mr. Who?
Mr. Redman. He plays all these unsigned Long Island rock bands every Saturday night from 7:30 to 9.
Oh.
He even has a top 10 countdown.
Is he funny?
Well, he tries to be.
Because the guys after him, Mikey and Jimmy, they're pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, they do a comedy team zoo kind of thing. The Mikey and Jimmy Show, 9 to 10 on Saturdays.
What about Sunday nights? Anything good on then?
Like, duh, Joe Salzo, 7 o'clock.
Ah, he's that political conservative guy. What is he, like, 20?
Yeah, still young enough to have an open mind and a sense of humor.
Mm.
So you see, four different shows for you to listen to on the weekend. Long Island's Dating, Fridays at 6.
Mr. Redman, Saturdays at 7:30, followed by Mikey and Jimmy at 9.
And Joe Salzone, 7 p.m. on Sundays.
Well, that's a lot of good shows.
Sing it with me now.
On the radio. Ooh, on the radio. Ooh, on the radio.
Shalom! Shalom, goddammit! We're here on the Dave's Gone By show, and Dave has been kind enough to let me, Rabbi Saul Solomon of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York, conduct this exciting and wonderful and terrific interview that I have here with me in the studio now today. I am here with a woman, a nice chicky baby. Oh my God, what a pair she has on her. Her name is Andrea Kolb. And she's in a show. It's a one person, one woman. You're just one woman, right?
Usually I'm just one woman.
Just one woman.
For you, I'll be a couple.
Two things on you, but there's just one of you in total there. It's called Sometimes Over the Summer, and it's been playing in the Midtown International Theater Festival, which is a big hoity-toity name. Oh, I'm impressed. First of all, I want to introduce the very funny, the very wonderful, and the very, those are nice. They're really nice. God damn it. What?
You're a little forward.
Welcome,
I mean, we just
God. I'm well, what the hell. I have 18 and a half children. I've seen it all.
You've seen it all?
I've seen it all and then some, God damn it. So how
I'm
are you?
I'm angry. I'm okay, you know. I took the Long Island Railroad, which was a odyssey for me, because I'm from Manhattan and... anything out of Manhattan is an odyssey.
Yes, but having seen your show, you know, the whole thing of trains going through tunnels, I assume really appeals to you there.
Was that supposed to be a sexual innuendo, rather?
Oh, I don't know. Innuendo, out your endo, I don't know. I've seen your show. I was a little shocked.
You were shocked.
I was a little bit shocked.
I think you were a little turned on, Rabbi. Let's be frank.
This is from my payas went up.
Yes. Not to mention the yarmulke that you're wearing.
The yarmulke.
He's wearing a red yarmulke, folks.
But we should explain. First of all, what the hell is your show? Tell everybody what your show is, goddammit.
So you swear, Rabbi.
All the time.
All right. Well, my show is a show about three generations of women, and it focuses on me and my mother and my grandmother as sort of alter egos for what I'm trying to navigate through life's minefields. I grew up in the 70s on the Upper West Side. And was told I could have everything and sort of didn't grow up at all because all the rules were broken. My mother grew up in the 50s. She got divorced. And my grandmother grew up in the 30s and she stayed married, hated her marriage. So I'm trying to sort of say, you know, how far have we come from the 30s to now? How much has changed between men and women and marriage and children? And that's the...
Well, have you drawn any conclusions from that? Or is it just all out there like
is
a mishmash?
It's just all questions. It's like Passover. It's
how
like
many roads must a girl walk down before you can call her a woman? This is the kind of thing.
Hey, that's good.
That is good. I've got to remember that.
So, yeah, let me remember
I'll
that.
I'll tell that one to Dave also.
Please, tell it to my publicist.
But that you were telling all about your family. What happens to you in this whole
Well,
process?
To me, I end up having a very intellectual kind of privileged background, and then think I'm going to do all these wild things and end up in a pretty traditional marriage with a guy that grew up Orthodox and then left the Orthodoxy.
That son of a bitch! Let's talk about this!
All right.
Why did he leave the Orthodoxy, goddamn son of a bitch?
you know, he's in conflict because the yarmulke, as I say in my show, is revolving. You know, sometimes it's on, sometimes it's off.
Yeah.
He gets, you know, he gets in a mood. All of a sudden, he's got the, he's davening. We went to Miami Beach once, and I came out, and he's on the porch with the tefillin and the shawl davening. I didn't know what was going on.
You sure he wasn't shooting up?
No, I'm not.
But wait a minute. So what would get him in? And what was he? Was raised Orthodox?
He was raised
Orthodox.
No, he went to Yeshiva, Chavetzchaim. His parents were Holocaust survivors.
Circumcised?
Very circumcised.
Okay, just checking. So tell me, goddammit. Yeah, he would go through these stages where he would be more Jewish than others.
Yeah, he would get, I guess, emotional, and then all of a sudden he would become a little more religious, and I, you know, was a very confused because I did not grow up religious. I grew up, you know, I went to school with all religions. You know, we went to the synagogue on holidays. I was like a holiday Jew.
I got you.
You know, I wasn't a...
I was a
sun is setting. Oh my God! Hurry up!
I'm
phone,
more of a
no
Tisha B'Av Jew, actually. That's my holiday. I love that Tisha B'Av.
What is that Tisha B'Av?
I don't know, but I just love it.
I just love saying
Tisha. It's a sad one. It's the ninth of Av. The temple was destroyed. Other things were destroyed.
It's the aggravation.
So sad.
Just,
yeah.
Oh, the
Milton
Berle
died. I don't know about that. So what happened between you and the husband that made it bad?
We had different desires, and we were not able to reconcile our differences, basically. I mean, I believe that people get divorced, not because they have problems, because every relationship has problems. It's because...
Oh, you're telling me, goddammit.
You're having a problem with your wife?
With Miriam Libby, let me tell you.
Miriam
woman,
Libby?
Miriam Libby and our 18 and a half children.
What do you expect from her, 18 children?
I expect 25 children.
This is not normal. That's what my husband...
Every Jew should procreate.
That was my husband.
Yeah.
He wanted me to have more, more, more. That was one of the biggest things.
How many did you have?
I had one.
One?
One.
What the hell? What? You got the tubes tied or something? What's wrong with you?
No, I just wanted to wait a little longer, and he was like, you know...
Right, pop them out.
You know, my mother, my grandmother are exaggerated characters. To make a point, you know, my husband, you know, the men I don't do, I just react.
Sounds like you did a lot of men. That's one of the things that
right,
shocked me about the show.
That's it. Is.
I mean, with all due respect, you do come off as a bit of a slut.
What?
Yeah.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Oh, you're very
That's
well.
Why you invited me on.
Are you kidding? Of course.
That's what you want.
You think I have men on this program? God damn it.
Did I really
Well, look at in the synagogue old days, men in hats, men in suits.
Listen, I went to a stand-up comedy club, and this Orthodox old guy came up to me and asked me where the closest strip club was.
Aye.
And I felt for him. And he was so ashamed.
You felt him or you felt for him?
I didn't feel him. I felt
for him.
Right. He was a little old for me. All right. Not to mention he hadn't showered in about 2 weeks. Other than that, fine. I was like, listen, if you want to go to a strip club, you should take a shower.
At that age, they don't want a left hand, they do a crap dance.
Not to mention the breath. I'm like, you had to have a garlic bagel now? I don't know. Go rent a porn movie, go home. I felt for him. I don't think he ever saw a naked woman. I don't know.
Well, speaking of
naked women.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to take off my clothes, but you know, my grandmother might.
Your grandma?
I have a very...
Bring her in here. But she's a
I don't know if she'll take off her clothes, but she's pretty.
Maybe
active.
Just the top or the
maybe
truss.
She,
okay, right. What's her name anyway?
My grandmother's name is Helen.
Grammy, I had a Grammy Helen too.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! And they're both dead.
Yes.
This is.
She lived to be 100 years old.
Baruch Hashem.
What,
do you think she's going to die again?
No, but I should live that long.
And you know, knocking wood isn't even a Jewish thing. It's a terrible thing to knock wood. Because if you knock wood, you know what that represents?
See, these Jews are filled with these phobias, yeah.
I learned this. I learned this. It comes from knocking the nails into the hands of Jesus on the cross. I heard this.
Really?
That's really the superstition.
So what do I knock? My head?
Yeah, that's what Jews generally do.
Right.
Or the Goyim knock the Jews' heads into the wall. So we knock our heads. This is why he's... When we daven in the synagogue and we go back and forth like
you
this,
head
it's
the
knocking
wall.
The head into the bench. It's like, oi!
I hate myself.
Yes. Have you ever seen pictures of old Jews? They've got swellings on their heads, you know, out there here because that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Banging the head on the wall. My son does that.
Yeah, get your grandmother in here, goddammit.
All right. Let me go get her.
All right. Hold on. Die, 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 die,
I'm so happy to be here. I always wanted to be on the radio.
Are you quelling? Are you?
I could have been a very famous radio host myself, but you know, my husband was always on my back, son of a bitch. So I couldn't do it. But
sounds like he was on your back and your front, if you know what I mean.
No, he wasn't on my front.
Oh, really?
Once I had a baby. That was it. Andrea the baby.
Andrea called the baby. She's the one who has that show, by
the
way.
Star. Did you see that show? That show is fantastic. Only my daughter could write that show.
What the hell? It's called Sometimes Over the Summer?
Sometimes Over the Summer. Is that like a Tennessee Williams title or what? She got that from me. Can I tell you? Because I'm very, very, very creative. I write poems in the nursing home. I write them up in heaven. I have boyfriends up there.
You date in heaven?
This is dating in heaven.
What is a date in heaven like?
It's heaven!
All
right, that was obvious.
In the background? No.
You know what? You can do what you want most of the time. To leave you alone, you know what I mean?
You can eat what you want, right?
You can eat what you want. You want a little bacon, no one says anything. Big deal. You know, you sneak off, you have a little BLT sandwich. You know, you want to have a little hanky-panky over there. No one's
well, in heaven, I would assume it's hanky-panky 23/7, for crying out loud.
Not hanky-panky up here.
Yeah, I mean, it would be.
I have to watch my granddaughter to make sure she doesn't, you know, do anything to,
Well, have you ever been really worried about her, about the situation she was in with the marriage and the she had an affair at one point?
Excuse me.
What?
She was what?
She had a catered affair at Lingard's.
That's
a great
right, that's
lovely.
Right. Was
it
that
was
beautiful?
Goddammit.
Wasn't that gorgeous?
Yeah,
and
the flowers.
And kosher food.
And the band, they were too loud, but it was a good band.
Oh, but they were good, though, but they played that.
Never heard an ocarina used that way. It was fabulous.
I know, but the line was very nice when they all held.
Oh, the conga.
The conga line, yeah. Did you see me on the conga line?
No, I missed. Oh, my God.
I know, the hips were a little big, but, you know, I had a nice dress. I got the very nice, not Dora's dress, because Dora, did you see Dora? She looked awful.
My
sister Dora, she doesn't know how to dress, you know, and she follows me around everywhere. Every department store, she's following me around. We look exactly alike. Once I thought that she was in the department store because I saw my reflection in the mirror. I started yelling at her. They kicked me out.
Terrible, terrible. What do you wish for your daughter?
I wish my daughter happiness.
Were you happy? Did you have a happy life? Does anybody have a happy life?
I suffer. I suffered through. But I always had this little spark, this little sense of humor, which I passed down to my granddaughter.
Yes. You know? This is so
important.
If
you could laugh, you'd be all right. Yes. You know, because you could step back and you make a little fun of life.
So many people go through life angry. And I hate that, goddammit!
If you take the yarmulke off, are you bald? I don't mean to get too far.
I'm not bald as often as I'd like to be, but then again, my wife is pregnant half the time. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you very much.
Very cute, Rabbi.
Oh.
So you have a wife. You happy with your wife?
She's a wife. What can I tell you?
She's a wife.
Yeah,
I
you know.
Said she's a life.
There you
That's
go.
That's pretty good. She's a life.
She's a life.
How long have you been
married? I'm a lifer. What can I We've been married...
And I'm dead, so...
25 and a half years.
That's a very long time.
Oh, it's a very long
time. And how old are you?
I'm 25 and a half.
And you came out of the embryo, and that was it.
We joined heads when we were fetuses, and we've been together.
And no matchmaker, nothing.
We even had the kosher food piped into the amniotic sac. It was wonderful.
This I never heard of. This must be modern technology.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Because in my day, we squat, the baby comes out.
If I squat, lots of things come out, but no babies.
I don't want to hear about that, Rabbi, please.
God, you don't. If I don't have my prunes in the morning.
I don't need to hear. Did you make today? Did you not make? At least in heaven, every day it's not. So did you go? You know, no one...
Do people go?
No, that's
You don't have to.
You don't have to go.
But you're not constipated.
No, you're not constipated. You don't have to worry about how many times you went. You don't need the prune juice. You don't need to... It's not an obsession in heaven.
What do you do with all the extra time?
We have bingo. We play parties. I have a couple boyfriends. We watch, you know, our families. We have certain times to see what's going on.
I've always wondered about this for people in heaven. If you're watching the people down below, the son, the daughter, the granddaughter, and all that. And you're watching them as good. You want to look out for them. You watch them when they're taking a dump, when they're stooping, when they're touching themselves. At what point,
Rabbi,
do you go, I don't want to see this?
You know, yes, you have to be selective because they can't see you.
That's right.
You can see them.
Maybe they can smell you a little bit. But
no, they can't. Maybe they can smell you. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm wearing very nice perfume.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's Trish McAvoy number 3.
Why would you wear an Irish perfume? There should be a perfume named Shekelman's. That's what they have. But I need to get your daughter back. Your granddaughter back, please.
Okay.
And your cold.
All right. Baby, come here. Yeah, the rabbi wants to talk to you.
Hello.
I'll be out here.
There she is. That was very nice talking to grandma. She's quite well preserved.
Yeah, she's doing pretty well up there, huh? Yeah.
Aside from this, I mean, you do a stand-up comedy, and you're doing this. I assume you're going to be doing this elsewhere after.
Yeah,
my
show's probably going to move to a theater in Connecticut called the Seven Angels Theater.
Angels, this is good. That's
yeah.
I
said,
a good
look,
time.
I want prophets, not angels, okay? The Seven Prophets Theater.
As long as you turn a prophet. That's the most important thing in Judaism, damn it.
So I'm doing this festival, then we're probably going to do a regional run and then try to bring it off Broadway.
I want to thank so much Andrea Cole for stopping in to the Dave's Gone By.
It was a big slap on the LIR, but you know what? I'm happy I came.
It was worth it, wasn't it?
It was worth it. I'm taking a cab home. I don't care how much it costs.
Thank you again, and don't forget, sometimes over the summer, look for Andrea Kolb. She has a website too, AndreaKolb.com, right?
Correct.
There it is.
Thank you so much.
God damn it! We'll be back.
Okay.
Do you know how easy and inexpensive it is to advertise on Dave's Gone By? You don't? Well, hey, it's even easier to find out. You can run a 30 or 60 second ad or sponsor one of the segments on this show or the whole show. Just go to our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, to see the rate sheet, or call 516-295-1511. Bring your message to my audience. Advertise on Dave's Gone By.
I need more Dave!
Oh, I hear that all the time. Once a week is not enough, but you can get all the Dave you want on CD. Dozens of complete episodes, just $14 per disc, shipping and handling included. Add one more dollar for a personal autograph. Dave's Gone By CDs come with jewel cases, photos, liner notes. Makes a great gift. So, for more info, check our website or email davesgoneby@aol.com and ask for the CD list.
Thanks, Dave!
Print it, copy it, send it as a gift. All that and more at Hewlett Minuteman Press. Full-service printer, family-owned and operated since 1975. Photocopying, printing, invitations, engraved gifts. Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett. Call 516-569-5577, 569-5577, or on the web at hewlett.minutemanpress.com. Mention Dave's Gone By and get a special price.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, the closing minutes of this, our 86th episode, titled Reagent 86, though I'm not sure if we've helped anybody get smart. Big thanks to our special guest, Andrea Kolb. Make sure you catch her one-woman show sometimes over the summer at the Midtown International Theater Festival in Midtown. And thank you also, I think, to Rabbi Saul Solomon for sitting in the interview chair for that one. You never quite know what he's going to say, and not everybody's comfortable with that, but hey, he talks to God, I don't, so I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Oh, and one last item of Jewishness. Thank you to Bruce from Woodmere for his email last week. He says, Dave, how about a show dedicated to silly summer songs, or maybe a Ninth of Av celebration? Maybe we could destroy a temple or two in Cedarhurst. Signed, Bruda Maccabee. Well, Bruda, thank you for your email. It's true. Radio just doesn't have enough Ninth of Av celebrations. I'm not sure about destroying the temple in Cedarhurst, though. Maybe we could just circle the Baby Gap and try to levitate it or something. I'll think about it. Anyway, some things for you all to think about. If you need printing, copying, engraving, corporate gift-giving, mug labeling, Hewlett Minuteman Press is the place to go. 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, right by Horchinoff's. The Toron family has been running the company for almost 3 decades, and they've been supporting Days Gone By all spring and summer long. So visit Hewlett Minuteman Press, mention Days Gone By, and get 10% off your order. And speaking of orders, why not also head over to the Tondra Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center, and order some chicken tikka masala, or lamb biryani, or vegetable samosas. Indian food, spicy or mild, buffet lunches every day, 10% off if you mention the show. The Tondra Grill. See the menu at tondragrill.com, not tandoori, tandoor, leave off the last I for Indialicious. And while you're leaving off the last I, leave on your radios, because WGBB has a whole bunch of other programs you might want to check out, like The Instrumental Invasion, smooth jazz with Mike Shamari every Tuesday night at 9. You know, people think of AM radio as being about talk, about news, and not really about music. And there's truth to that, and certainly FM has a different sound quality. But there's still something cool about hearing music coming out of an old-fashioned AM radio, in your car, on the beach, working in the garage. So listen for light jazz every Tuesday night at 9 on The Instrumental Invasion. And for hard rock and roll, catch the Mr. Redman Music Show every Saturday night, 7:30 to 9. And do tune in this week, because I'll probably need making a guest appearance on the program. I've called in a few times to say hi, but this time I'll be there in the flesh. So, you know, there'll be some triple entendres flying back and forth between me and Red. But mostly, it's music. Unsigned band from all over Long Island, getting exposure, getting airplay, thanks to Mr. R every Saturday night. But of course, GBB has talk radio too, including Long Island's Dating, 6 o'clock Fridays with comedian and hostess with the mostest, Bonnie D. Graham. And if it's comedy you want, don't forget the off-the-wall antics of Mikey and Jimmy, Saturday nights at 9. And finally, Sunday nights at 7, it's Your World with Joe Salzone. Joe's been on vacation the whole month and is spending one more week away. I was proud and delighted to guest host the last two episodes of his show. I hope you got a chance to hear them. If you didn't, they're available on CD, along with a whole bunch of my old Dave's Gone By shows, for only $14 apiece, shipping and handling included. Find out more about that at my website, davesgoneby.com. But I really had a blast sitting in for Joe, and I thank him for that opportunity. This weekend, Your World's political analyst Steve Canzanieri will take the reins, and Joe returns, God willing, the first Sunday in August. I like the sound of that. And if you like the sound of this program in general, please, please support the show. Your advertising, your sponsorship, make it happen. Buy a CD, take out half a minute ad, make a non-tax-deductible contribution to the show. Every little bit helps a lot. And it's all there on the website, davesgoneby.com. Just four last items to mention tonight. One bitter, three sweet. First, my condolences go out to an old school acquaintance from junior high and high school days, David Ging, who lost his father, Coleman Ging, to respiratory heart failure earlier this week. I didn't know this, but the New York Times reported that in the late 80s, Ging's dad was considered the Serpico of the Queens School Board. He was the superintendent, and he testified at hearings to uncover a whole mess of corruption there. So, David, if you happen to be listening, I'm sorry to hear the news, but you know your dad fought the good fight. On a happier note, I can't end the show without mentioning that tomorrow, July 23rd, marks the 83rd birthday of Calvert DeForest, a quiet, elderly, egg-shaped man who was plucked from beneath obscurity to become the one and only Larry Bud Melman. Even if he hadn't dressed up as Roy Orbison, a singing cowboy, or a woman with a beehive hairdo, even if they hadn't sent him to Tierra del Fuego, even if he had never sold one piece of toast on a stick, if Larry Bud had never done anything else but hand out those hot towels at the bus station all those years ago, interviewing strangers and keeping the mic steady just long enough to get half their answers and half his questions, that alone has secured his place in the pantheon of comedy. And the fact that I met him a few times and he was always a sweetheart and a gentleman doesn't hurt either. So a very happy birthday, Calvert, Bud, DeForest, Melman, and many, many more. And happy every day to my beloved wife, Joyce, who's just been so great these past couple of weeks as I've gotten more involved in the radio station. Her support has meant the world to me, as does the support of you, my cherished listeners. Oh, and the fourth thing I wanted to tell you. I was just talking about one old friend from my school days, unfortunately in a sad context. But I've also kept in touch with another pal from the same era, Dustin Ehrlich, Now, I talked about Dustin's late brother, George, on here a few months ago when George passed away in a most untimely fashion. We're talking about a 30-something-year-old here. But Dustin, George's younger brother, not only survives, but is making a name for himself in the music industry. Dustin spent years studying with master jazz guitarists, including Sal Salvador and Mark Stefani, and now he's finally got his own CD out, A Distant Star. It got a rave review in 20th Century Guitar magazine, and it's got some very pretty stuff on it. He plays all the instruments himself, guitars, bass, synthesizer. Now, I'm not a jazz guitar fan, but this has elements of new age and some jazz-flavored pop to make it quite listenable, as you will hear from the outro music tonight and on next week's show when Dustin is my guest in the neighborhood. So if you like mellow guitar or a funny, nutty musician who plays a mellow guitar, don't miss Dustin Ehrlich on this program next Thursday, July 29th, 7 p.m. Until then, don't miss your days going by. May all your doctors be as smart as Ken Jennings and all your lovers as freaky as Andrea Kolb. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Drive a Melman bus and gone by. Thank you.